Good morning, Joe. We had the allergy season going strong, and now we're going to have the mold spores popping, too, with all this humidity going on.
Yes, and a bumper crop of mosquitoes probably, too.
Yeah, that will follow, indeed.
Gosh. Well, into every rain, and every life, a little rain must fall, right?
That's right. That's right. It is summertime. Yeah. This is what goes on.
Absolutely. It'll keep the parks crews busy mowing lawns, I'm sure.
Yes, certainly everything's going to be green. As things started to burn off, so this certainly will green everything up once again.
Yeah, and they are working in the parks, right? All of them, pretty much.
Oh, indeed. Absolutely. Full crews are in everywhere, every department. Parks are looking good. And of course, we've got, as you know, the rec kids working, keeping an eye on facilities and making sure everyone's following the guidelines. We've got the wash stations at a number of these places. The tot lots get extra cleaning on a regular basis, so, you know, trying to follow the guidelines without getting too crazy.
Yeah, I think, you know, people are saying, oh, if we want to get any kind of normalcy back, this is what we're going to have to do, so let's just do it and move on.
That's right.
What's happening at Kincaid Park, the big project going on over there?
Yeah, we're trying to pick a date to open it up to the public. That's been going on for well over a year now. Absolutely magnificent project for that neighborhood. Worked very hard with Councilor Palmucci, members of the council on that. We got a state grant for a portion of it, almost $500,000 towards it. But it's been completely rebuilt as a beautiful new turf, be marked for soccer. It's got a walking path all around it. It's got a formal straightaway track for the kids over at Southwest. It's got basketball courts. It's got this splash pad and tot lot equipment. About 100 trees have been planted over there. There's some beautiful areas, of special types of plants that will hold water because you got the town brook that goes under there. And as part of the project, we look very closely at, drainage and flood control. So there's some really neat retention areas, I guess you'd call them, that are going to be beautified with some great plant life. So all in all, a great project. Now we're waiting for the drier weather because they started to paint the courts and the track and the lane lines and all that stuff. But with this rain and humidity, it's kind of putting it off a little bit. So probably at least another week before we see it opening up.
Okay. And
probably do something special to open it.
Yeah, I was going to ask. I mean, obviously you can't have a giant celebration under the current circumstances, but some kind of recognition, I'm sure.
Indeed, and we'll maybe pass out some ice creams and things for the kids. Absolutely, we'll certainly make it celebratory without being too crazy.
Sure. How's the dog park coming, by the way, up on Quarry Street?
Well, the road is finished and the dog park is finished.
Oh, okay.
Now we're trying to tweak the plans on the actual shelter building, which we have a space for up there. So I took a ride up there not long ago. I tell you, just riding up there and then looking kind of west, the views are pretty spectacular. Of the Blue Hills. It's a beautiful spot. And that piece of land was really not really helpful or doable for much. You know, it's you get some oak filled quarries are up in that area. There's drainage issues around there. It's not flat or level. A lot of scrub vegetation, and you're down against some of the properties just on Quarry Street there. So it was very, very carefully designed and engineered so we didn't create any issues. But it was a piece of wasted land because it wasn't like it was a beautiful arboretum with these gorgeous specimen trees. It was all invasive stuff growing up there. So it had no great benefit to anybody. Even the wildlife, it didn't have much productive areas for them. So it's a great project. You know, we obviously now have a formal dog park, and I think it's two or three different parks within the park.
Okay.
For the smaller dogs, one for the bigger dogs, and I don't know, that's not my world, but I know that the folks that have been involved in it are very happy with it. Thank the park department, Lisa Romola from my office, and others that worked on it. And now it's fine-tuning that shelter until we can get that squared away, because obviously the shelter needs to be replaced. The one that's on Broad Street's terrible, horrible. And we got to get out of the way to build the new police station, so a lot happening all at once.
Yeah. Is all the funding approved for that now, for the new shelter also?
I think, the original appropriation, they cut it in half, the council.
Yes.
So we won't need the full that we were looking for because we've cut the facility size back.
Okay.
But we'll probably have to go back to get an additional, to make it work.
Right. And a new skate park, too, over down in the Points is opening up later this year, I think, too.
Yeah, skateboard park over at Pond Street. That's actually another area that was donated to the city by the Faxon family.
Mm.
So they gave us Faxon Field, Faxon Park,
mm-hmm.
and they also gave us that area there that's on Pond Street. And yes, so that, you know, we don't want people skateboarding through the Hancock Adams Common, damaging the granite and so forth. So
yep.
this is a place for them to go. We actually had some younger folks that had reached out to us a couple of years ago looking to do an updated state-of-the-art one. And so we did work it in with our master plan for Park and Rec, and we're getting it done. I think we're using community development block grant money on that one
okay.
To get it finished. It should be nearly finished. But it's going to be really, they were very involved in the design of it, the users themselves. So hopefully it'll be well received and certainly respected.
And speaking of Faxon Field, there's a new structure there as well.
Yes, there is. The Quirk Field House.
Yeah.
Dan Quirk, the owner of Quirk Auto Dealers, has been very generous to the city in many, many ways. People don't even realize. I mean, he's given cars, for example, to the Votech for the kids to take apart and work on.
Yep.
Yeah, he pays for the fireworks every year for Flag Day. He gave the Y $500,000 to do the summer camp, and he gave us significant money towards the building, the construction of that building down at Faxon Field. Not a huge building, but it gives us restrooms, it gives us a coach's room, and it gives us storage space for some of the track-related equipment that is used down at that facility. So so we're grateful for Dan Quirk. And absolutely, it looks nice. It's kind of fits the motif of some of our other buildings,
yes.
at Paget and Adams. It's
yeah.
got that nice red brick and the green roof, and yeah. it's a handsome structure.
That's the first thing I thought when I saw it, is it looks just like the Adams Field facility as well.
Yes, we don't do anything halfway, Joseph.
Can we talk a little bit, Mayor, about the fall reopening of the schools and the task force here in Quincy that's working on that?
Yes, our interim superintendent, Kevin Mulvey, and the superintendent leadership team, with Aaron Perkins and Maddie Roy and Mara Papil and the whole group, have been really working their tails off since this whole thing started, because there was so many adjustments had to be made, the virtual learning, and the teachers deserve a lot of credit for their work on this stuff. But, you know, there's still some huge questions about September. Now, the state did issue some guidelines last week, which the school department has and going through them. And so the school committee has asked the superintendent and the team to come up with alternatives for September, which they were doing anyway,
mm-hmm,
but,
mm-hmm.
you know, certainly everyone is interested to see what the options will be. And so they're looking at that. They've measured out buildings, classrooms, how many kids can we get per under the new guidelines. Thankfully, what was rumored to be 6 feet between kids in the classroom is now 3 feet.
Right.
So that's a tremendous help.
Okay.
They're talking about things like no, perhaps no gym, perhaps no lunchroom eating, that
right.
They'll deliver the lunches to the classrooms, you know, things like that. Maybe moving the teachers from class to class rather than the kids moving around.
Yeah.
You know, it's, and I understand all that, so our team's working very hard on putting a plan together. There may be some folks at home that are concerned they don't want their kid to go to school because they're afraid,
yeah.
and we may have to come up with some alternative plans for them. There may be some teachers and staff, that, you know, maybe their health is compromised, their concerns, so we have to come up with a plan for that.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of pieces to this that they're working through. Obviously, the goal is to get the kids back in the schools in September. As we know, and I know there's a lot of discussion going on right now about the COVID and its surge and
yep.
and what's happening. I mean, we're holding our own in Massachusetts, and I know the governor's taken quite a bit of criticism for not opening sooner, et cetera, but it looks like, you know, some real wisdom in his plan, because we seem to be doing it appropriately, and you know, we're seeing the curve flatten out pretty well. We haven't seen the surge in Massachusetts.
Right.
So let's hope that stays. The reality is, from what I've read, is the young kids have not been really affected by this. Do they transmit it? Perhaps.
Yeah.
I'm sure they do. They transmit everything else.
That's right.
Little germs. But, you know, so that is a question, but at what point, where's the balance? At what point do we start to lose these kids' opportunities for education? Because I don't care what you say, you know, the stuff for being done virtually is just not the same
mm-hmm.
being in the classroom. And we got to do it, and we got to do it well. But, I look back as a kid, it was a struggle enough for me in the classroom paying attention, never mind trying to do it at home with all the other distractions at home, you know.
Right.
So I know everybody, you know, feels the same way. They want the kids back, but we've got to be responsible about it. We've got to make sure that, you know, we got good, solid alternative plans depending on what happens in September. Let's hope the numbers continue to drop as they are, but should we get a late summer boom, you know, who knows what we'll have to do. So, you know, what do they say? Plan your work and work your plan. So, so we're planning the work for September. And the team's working very, very hard on this. So I really appreciate all their work and the staff involved.
I know the state set aside some money specifically for that. Will Quincy take advantage of that?
Well, indeed. I mean, this going to be, I mean, I didn't even mention transportation. You know, what's the situation going to be there with kids, how many kids on a bus, et cetera.
That's
so
right.
There's going to be a lot more costs incurred. And if the state's going to, you know, push these guidelines, then I think they have a responsibility to help us financially with it. So, so we'll see what happens, you know.
Some modular classrooms, do you think, Mayor, might be possible?
I don't know. I mean, if we're not going to be having gym, and who knows what sports are going to be like in the fall, you know, perhaps we'll be breaking up some of the gyms and calves to classroom space, you know.
Yep.
So, you know, probably go in that direction before we went to the modular stuff. You know?
Okay. Speaking of money, tomorrow, of course, begins the new fiscal year budget. How's the city doing financially?
Oh, we're doing fine, yeah. The year-end closeout. It's an important time in our municipal finance department and our departments. So all the books get closed for every department, any and all. Shortfalls have been dealt with at the last council meeting, so now it's a question of the end of the year, how much surplus we end up with, because, as you know, we've talked about this on this program, that we've really kind of squeezed the last few months this fiscal year, reduced spending as much as we can so that we can build up some surplus that then can be used to help us offset the shortfall in revenues so that we don't have to do an increase in the property taxes in the fall. So that's kind of the goal. My guess is we're going to be somewhere between 5 and 7 million in the black, but that's a pure guess based on my experience over the years. I could be off either way. And that sounds like a lot of money, but when you talk about the size of the budget we have, that's not a lot of money.
Right.
It's that time of year, and we'll deal with it, get through it. And then, of course, when we get to September, that's when we get our free cash numbers certified, and then we go into the tax setting season, if you will, the classification vote by the council, and then the new bills go out by the end of December. As people probably know, they definitely know we have four quarters for taxes, but the actual rate isn't determined until the final third and fourth quarter. So your first the bills for the fiscal year, for example, the first of this fiscal year, and then the second one on the fiscal year are estimates based on the year before. And then, of course, the last two bills of the year, the actual. So you generally what happens is your tax bill goes up a little higher the second one, then it flattens out for the new fiscal year again.
Right.
It's just how it works, right, wrong, or indifferent.
Yep.
That's how it works. So, you know, we've committed to trying to hold the line, and that's continues to be the goal as far as increases go. There are no raises in the budget. We're working now with the unions on that issue. No department heads or anyone got raises. As positions open up during the course of this year on the city side, we're going to be very careful about what we need to fill, because I think next year could be a bigger challenge than this year as far as the finances go, because we're always a little bit behind. If the real estate values drop, if the revenues don't bounce back, it's kind of like that year or two after the immediate issue that the cities and towns really feel the pinch.
Yeah.
Who knows what the state's going to be able to do on local aid and state aid, Chapter 70, et cetera. So a lot of balls in the air, a lot of moving parts, but we feel good about it overall.
Okay. This Saturday, of course, Mayor, is the 4th of July, and typically at the Adams National Historical Park, there would be the celebrations, the recreations. Not happening this year. Is the city planning anything at all to recognize Independence Day?
That's the challenge. Yeah. I know that one organization, the Adams Shore, is going to do their flag raising at O'Hara Circle in Adams Shore. They do a little kids' bike parade around the circle, and they're doing that with, you know, the social distancing. But the parades have been canceled. The bonfires have been canceled.
Yeah.
There's really no way to do those safely under the guidelines.
Yeah.
Really would be impossible. So it's, John Adams talked about July 4th will be celebrated with pomp and circumstance and fireworks and parades and... Except for this year, John.
That was, yeah, before he knew about pandemics.
That's exactly right,
Oh, gosh.
So, you know, it is a time we should reflect. With all that's going on in our country, it's still the greatest country in the world. There is story after story after story of the great American stories of immigrants coming here, people making it, people hitting the American dream. You know, we see protests all over the country. Your right to free speech, your right to protest, peacefully, mind you, mm-hmm. is the way it's supposed to be. But, you know, there's a lot of places in the world you can't do that. You can't speak your mind. You can't get out and protest. You can't go to the church you'd like to go to and practice your own religion and faith. It's pretty unique here. So, you know, I know that the real left-wing nuts out there want us to believe that capitalism is terrible, this country is terrible, we're evil, etc., etc. I couldn't disagree more that this has been the greatest experiment in the history of mankind. We've been blessed by God Almighty. People have great opportunity here. Look at, you know, look at the educational experience we have in our Quincy Public Schools. Every kid has an opportunity to succeed. So let us be mindful that flag represents everything about us from the start. And how many hundreds of thousands died defending it? How many hundreds of thousands died building this country, the railroads, the bridges, the tunnels that are also represented in that flag? You know, all that is good. So, you know, as for me, you know, I kneel for my God and I stand for my flag. Still the greatest country. We'll get through this. We'll come together as a nation once again, hopefully find some common ground and some common values. Hopefully we'll show the rest of the world how it's done once again.
All right. On that, Mayor, I wish you and your family and staff a very happy, safe Independence Day weekend.
Well, you also, Joe. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.